through this look at the Ten Commandments of God when we get to those. They're going to be very challenging to us. Just the thought, the intent, and what these scriptures really mean. But before we get there, we're taking a look at Moses. A man, when we think about Moses, is just, I want to be a Moses. But Moses wasn't always what we see him as. See, people see us the way we are. Some see us the way we are before we come to know Christ. And what they see in us later on down the road, it's different. And that's the way Moses was. Moses was satisfied on the backside of the desert. Sometimes we get satisfied on the backside of the desert here, on the backside of the apartment complex. We get sort of staled out. But God's calling us out to lead. We're in an unprecedented time. Something we've never seen before, never experienced before. Even us old guys have not seen anything like we're seeing now. So what we need out of God's people is those to rise up and do what God's asked us to do to become leaders, at least of our families, friends, and neighbors. We need to make sure that we're focused on God, because listen, when we get through this message, that we're going to see something about ourselves. When God called me into the ministry, I never dreamed of being a pastor. Never dreamed really about being a Christian. But when God does something with you, when God calls you, he changes you. All right? So let's look at chapter 3, beginning at verse number 10 is where we're going to start. Let's stand and honor God as we read his word. Everybody have your Bibles with you? Amen. Bring your Bibles to church. Carry your Bibles with you everywhere you go. Man will lie to you. God won't. Amen. The Bible says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain," right where we at. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me," what's his name? "What shall I say to them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you, or sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me and saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. And I said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto the land of the flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you leave or when you go, you shall not go empty. Aren't you glad God supplies our every need? When it looks like there's nothing left, he's still able to meet every single need. I want to look at the thought this morning of commissioning leaders. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful that we can look at Scripture and see, Lord, the challenges that is before these great men that we admire and are loved throughout history from the people of God. We ask you this morning, Lord, that you would help us understand what you have for us. You don't have for us just to come together on a Sunday morning to sing songs together and to hear a message. Lord, you put us together as your body. They are ears here, they are mouths here, they are arms here, there are feet here. There's everything that is needed to glorify you and to do the work that you have called the church to do right here in this building. So, Lord, I pray this morning that we could see that we would be challenged by the Holy Spirit of God, that he might move in our hearts and examine our hearts today. Lord, show us those things that we need. Show us where our weakness is. Show us where the greatest need in our life is. Show us, Lord, your mercy and grace. Empower us, O God, for whatever work you have for us to do. May we reach this community for the glory of Christ. May we be able to touch lives in the name of Jesus, whatever that might be. We ask these things in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know of another place that we can look at that would bring us more joy than seeing probably the most powerful call in history. Can you imagine Moses standing right in the very presence of God as God spoke to him out of that burning bush? The very presence of God. So close to God that God said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Can you imagine what kind of call that was? And here, God's man that God knew was his man. See, God don't never make a mistake. I've heard people say, well, you know, God just, he didn't tell me right or something was wrong. I just don't believe that it's what he's, you know, what I think it is. Well, guess what? God don't make no mistakes. Whenever you have the very knowledge of God, God didn't make a mistake when he gave that to you. God gives that to us so that we might become people of faith. Really, that's what he's doing to Moses here, trying to activate within Moses the faith that he should have. And just like us, so many of us, all of us, I guess, we fall short of having that marvelous, marvelous faith that would make us take and charge hell with a water pistol. Something that would make us move. Something that would make us do something for his glory. Moses was given a small task. Go take about 3 million people out of bondage and just lead them across. Out of the way. I'm going to carry you to the land of milk and honey. All Moses had to do was go get them. But he, just like us, just like I did when God called me into the ministry, we refused to listen. We said, well, God, that's not what you want. That's not what I want, especially. And you just think about this. Moses was one guy that was satisfied where he was at. Are you satisfied where you're at? He was satisfied right on the backside of the desert, keeping sheep. Only God wanted him to keep a different kind of sheep, his sheep. But he was there, satisfied for 40 years. He's been tending the sheep. 40 years. Most people don't stay on the job 40 years. By the time we get 40 years, we retire. I done a funeral this week of a Marine who joined the Marine Corps 80 years ago, before there was a Camp Lejeune. We just never know what the future's going to bring. We don't know what God wants to do with us. We don't know what the future will be. I'm sure that this young man, back before there was ever even a Camp Lejeune, as he joined the Marine Corps, he never dreamed that 97 years later that God would call him home. 97 years. God has a work for us. God has a mighty work for us. Now, we might not all be Billy Grahams or Billy Sundays or Mordecai Hands. We might not all be people like that. But what we can be a man or a woman of influence within our families. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I want us to understand that these men were just like we are. And if I had seen Moses, now just think about Moses. There he was a murderer. He was a fugitive. He was afraid to go back over to Egypt. And yet God called him. I think of some of the other men. You know, I think about myself and how I ran for all those years after God. I knew that God was working in my life and working in my heart for me to do something different than what I was doing as far as the service to him. So I began to think about these guys. And, you know, I wouldn't have hired them. I wouldn't have put them to work. I wouldn't have said, well, you got this really, really super, super, super service to do. I wouldn't have hired these guys. A murderer? A fugitive? Someone that was on the backside tending the sheep. Now, how's he qualified to do what he's been asked to do? You know? And then look at Daniel. There Daniel was. Daniel was a slave to Nebuchadnezzar. Who would ever thought Daniel would be the man that God used to give us the prophecy of the end times? Who would ever thought that somebody like Joseph, who was sold by his brothers, imprisoned by Potiphar, who would ever thought? Do you think the king thought, Pharaoh thought? You think that he looked at Joseph in prison and said, well, there's the man who's going to lead this nation in some of the hardest days that I ever see? No. They were just ordinary people. People that had something that God saw in them. What about Matthew? Matthew was a hated tax collector. I'm sure that those people walking by, well, I can just imagine how hard his ministry was after Jesus called him. He was hated. He was a traitor. Nobody cared for him. Zacchaeus. The Bible is filled with men that God has used mightily, that me and you might have said, no way. I think about Paul. Paul was an enemy of the church. Killing them, dragging them off to prison, held the coats and gave them approval for Stephen's death as they stoned Stephen. There Paul was, putting his stamp of approval. All right, guys, let's do it. Who would have thought that he would have wrote the majority of the doctrines of the New Testament? God just poured the knowledge and the mystery of God's intent for what the church was to be, and he filtered it through a man that was an enemy of the church. We have so much potential. Now, we might not recognize that. We might not see it, but God sees it. God looked at that man that had those sheep with him, and God looked at him and said, hey, that's the man. Because God knew what he could do through Moses. God knows what he can do through you. God knows exactly his plan for you, that he might prosper you. But it's a plan that includes him as part of the picture. It's a plan that puts him in control of our lives. It's a plan that puts God in leadership with us. That's where we need to be. We need to be leaders in the kingdom of God. But see, all the excuses that he could think of, there God is saying, you know, you going down to Pharaoh. Well, I can't go down there. He used every kind of excuse you could think of. He said, I'm slow of speech. I'm not able to do that. Over in fourth chapter. I'm just slow of speech and my tongue. What was he saying? Maybe he had a bad stutter. Maybe he had been so long away from the Egyptian language after 40 years. Maybe he had trouble with the language. We don't really know what that was, but we know that he said, this is a good reason. I've got a good reason that I can't do what God said to. How many times have we ever said that? I'm not qualified. I'm not the person to be the leader in this. I've had people come to me and say, Brother Damon, we need to do so and so. I say, well, great. I'm going to give this to you, and you take it and you run with it. I'll be there with you. I'll help you every way. But you be there. And the guy said, hey, I've got all the materials. I'll just give it to you. He had a great idea. But God gave him the idea. There's been lots of people over there. I've done that very thing. And you probably have too at some point in your life. When it comes to church work, because we're so busy in life that we forget that the most important thing in life is the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget that God can do anything through us. Now, if we take this thing and we look at being a commission as a leader and we look at the glory for ourselves, guess what? We can make a terrible mess of it. I've made a mess of a lot of things. When we try to do it because we think that we can do it, it's when we get to that point, just like Moses was, I can't do that. Are you sure you really want me to go do such a major task? You want me to be there to do that? Well, I can't do that. Well, God says that we can because God qualifies the unqualified. Now, see, none of these men I just mentioned on their resume could put a graduate of Harvard Law of Leadership. They could say, well, I'm a murderer. I'm a slave. I'm a sheep herder. I'm a tax collector. Everything negative. When all God wants us to say is yes, I'll do it. I will do it. That's what he's looking for. Because see, none of us are ever qualified to do anything. And we see that and Moses had a lot of really, really good reasons not to go. We have a lot of good reasons not to go. I never forget that time when Bill Fay told me that I had had so much of the gospel. I was just trying to answer a question he was asking. I knew the answer. It weren't me, but I knew the answer. And I'll never forget what he told me. I said, well, I won't never answer another question for him. We can do whatever if we just step up and do it. Because God will take whatever it is. It's funny in my life where I've seen in the past things that my life was troubled with that I've been able to take and share that in the life of someone else who was facing some difficult days. The times how things that I went through that I just didn't think that I could make it. Now I can understand why I went through those things and me and Wanda had to go through some of those things so that we might be an aid to someone else. Because that's what it's all about. It's about us touching other people's lives. You know, when God called me, I guess I knew I wasn't qualified. My gracious alive, if I got a 70 on my report card, I would celebrate. If my brother got a 99 and had to carry him to the hospital to get a shot, nerves would be so bad. I thought to myself, I can't do this. I don't like to read. I don't like to study. I can't do this. Well, guess what? After 40 years, guess what? I read, I study all the time. The very thing that I despise, that's what I do. That's what I like to do now. Isn't that crazy? But God can take those things that you think are hard, and they are hard, but he can take those things in some way, just doing all that, he's molding you. He's shaping you into what he wants you to be. Oh, it's not comfortable at all. I've been beat up, pounced on, called names. I've been done everything you can think of. All the time, God's shaping you, qualifying you. Because, listen, none of us is qualified to be a representative of the Lord God Almighty. We deserve hell. It's what we deserve. We don't deserve a favor from him. We don't deserve his grace nor his mercy. But God is a loving God who does not want anyone to perish. So what do we do? We have to realize some promises of God. See, God made some promises here. He told Moses, he said, I've called you. I don't know of another calling that we could ever receive greater than the call of God on our life. There's no calling higher than that. If we miss that call, we've missed everything in life and end up in death with nothing but eternal separation in a place the Bible says is fire and brimstone. That's all we got to look forward to. But God says, I've called you. And he has. I believe if God has even put the, if you even had the thought of God in your mind, it's not from you. It's from God. So therefore, listen to me. He's called us. Everyone has been called. None of us have been called. He said, I will be with you. That's what he told Moses. I'm going to be with you. God is with us no matter what. We might forsake each other. We might turn our backs on one another. We might walk away and never be friends again. But the one thing I can say, God will never do that. And he will never put us in a place where he will desert us at. He might put us in a place where he's got to mold us real hard. He got to shape us real hard. But he'll never put us in a place that he is not present with us. He'll never put us in a place where we will fail at if we'll just lean on him. You are successful, at least you could be, can be, and will be when we lean on the Lord. Now listen, I couldn't imagine myself being a pastor. I couldn't imagine myself preaching. That's the one thing. I want to be more of a gangster in New York, something like that. I want to be a part of the mob. I mean, when I was younger. I'm a young man. Moses was afraid to go to Egypt. Number one, he was afraid he couldn't do the job. And I can just imagine in the back of his head, he's thinking, I wonder if they still remember me down there. I wonder if my picture is on the post office wall when I get to Egypt. You know, just those things. He was afraid to do what God called him to. I know I was afraid. And you might be afraid. You might be afraid this morning because of the call on your life. You might be afraid this morning to step out and say, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he has died for my sin. Well, guess what? When you believe that, it's because he's given it to you. You might be afraid to take that chance, if you would, but there's no chance. It's a guaranteed win. You might be afraid to step out because of what some friends might think. That's no reason to be afraid. Because Christ makes us the victor in everything. We don't have to worry about those things. This world is filled with doubt, with fear, unbelief, rebellion, hatred. This is what our world is filled with. But what it needs to be filled with is Christ. We need to proclaim Him from the mountaintops. That's for sure. We're missing leadership. We're missing it in every level of our life. We're missing it in politics. Man, do we need some leadership there? And guys, if you're not registered to vote, please go register to vote. Vote for the ones who's not against God, okay? We need leadership in every category that you can think of. This world is in a mess. So I tried to think, what are some things that to look for? Since I wouldn't have chosen any of these men here, what are some of the things that I would look for if I was going to look for some characteristics in someone's life to make them a good leader? What do you think they are? Well, I thought about some things and wondered what it would take to be a good leader. Right? I wasn't one. I thought, I can't do that. Maybe you're thinking the same thing. But a good leader has integrity. A good leader has to have integrity. We don't need no leaders that are in it for themselves. We need someone that is so in love with Jesus, so in love with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that can stand up before a world and just live the way they should. It's hard. I was a Christian when I was in the secular business. And I know how the world is because I was around it all the time. When we had meetings, it was crazy. I didn't know that grown men would act the way those guys would act. And I was the only one. Now there's several of them that said I'm a Christian, but they didn't live like it. They smell more like the world, act like the world, done like the world. And I tried to live my Christian life. It cut me out of a lot of things. But then again, what it cut me out of, I didn't want to start with. You have to have integrity. You have to be someone who has some moral standards. The walls of the church or the fences around the church have got so low, any kind of garbage can come in. The whole world needs to come in. But I'm talking about come in and be leaders within the church. Our standards have got so low. And maybe our thought is so much about building big, building the number of the people and have a place where people are not offended. We talked about that last week a little bit, about how the guy said, you know, they don't want our church to even look like a church. And the one guy told me, he said, man, we built this church to look like this, so if we ever sold it, it wouldn't hinder us because it was a church. I'm thinking, my gracious life, put it like a church and maybe it'll draw some people. You know, the temple wasn't like all the other buildings in town. It marked that there was something different that took place there. I know I'm old-fashioned, old cornfield preacher, I know that. But I got sense enough to know there's beauty in the things of the Lord. There's something special about it. You can walk in this building, nobody here, there's something special. I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is because it's been dedicated to the Lord. And it's different. You can walk through here right by yourself and it just feels like presence. Something different. See, the things of God can be those that important in our life. But we cannot allow our lifestyle to be in a way that will hinder our leadership. I would hate for some wanted to see me doing something that I would just think would be fine to do, you know, because I had no moral standing. And they to see me do that and say, well, you know, if the preacher does it, it's okay. I want my standards to be high enough that they can see Christ in me. That's my main thrive, is to live my life, and I've been doing this for over 40 years, to live my life in a way that when people see me, they know that I'm serious about my faith. See, I believe that Jesus can do that for us. Proverbs 10:9 says, whosoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he that who makes his ways crooked will be found out. You can't hide from him. He will expose us if we do. Proverbs 26:6 says, it's better as a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Young people need to look and build their life on integrity of truth. What is right, what thus saith the word of God. I know that's the way we tried to do with our children when they were growing up. You know, and some, there was an issue or something, but we'd take the Bible, this is what God's word says, and this is the standards of our house. This is what we do. This is what we believe. And we've done that from the time they were little teeny. Trying to build integrity in their life. Trying to do something that would give them a good, solid life. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves. Because as you know, this flesh, is still prone to sin. And we have to be careful. But not only do we need to have integrity, we need to be good communicators. We need to be able to really know what we're talking about and not to be afraid to stand at any place and proclaim truth. See, the truth is what makes us free. The truth is. And it is true. The truth can set us free. It can keep us. I tell you, I've seen people, and I know some people that honestly had rather tell you a lie than tell you the truth. They can't help it. It's just in their blood or something. I don't know what it is. But we need someone who can communicate truth. Someone who can stand in any kind of thing. See, I don't have issues with talking to people. I can talk. One that says I can meet somebody and 5 minutes later I know everything about their life. Well, I'm a talker. God give me a love for people. I just love people. So that makes it pretty easy for me talking. But then we got to be clear in our communication. We can't just talk junk. We got to talk something that makes sense. I know whenever I prepare a message, my worry is this, that I step out of the pulpit and have not taught anything. And I work myself hard to try to make sure that whenever we speak, that there's a message for us to grow on, for our life to develop even better for the Lord than what it was the day we come. I just believe that we need to be able to communicate and have some enthusiasm. You know, we don't need somebody always like, the old saying, what I used to hear when I was little, well, that guy looks like a mule that's been eating briars. Look how long his face is. We've got the best thing in the world. We've got the King of Glory. We can live our lives with some enthusiasm. It's not always bad. Let me tell you, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's troubling. But every time, it's a privilege that we have, knowing that we can have some enthusiasm and let the people know about it. We need to have a vision where people can see. We ought not to be satisfied where we're at in our Christian walk. We should say, Lord, I want to be used more now than ever before. I hear people talk about, and I don't understand this, They talk about, well, you know, you run so hard, you're burning the candle at both ends, you're going to burn out real soon. I said, well, I'd rather burn out from him than fizzle out for nothing. You know? So, the Bible says, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off resistance. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Blessed is he. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. We need to build one another up. We need to be supporters of one another. Yes, and this, guess what? Sometimes some of us make some terrible mistakes. Terrible mistakes. But we should never, ever tear them down. We should always be there to pick them up. Be there to walk with them, to be there to encourage them, to be there to a support for them. We need to be able to communicate our care for them, our love for them, and we need them to understand that we are here to help you. See, the Bible says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. We should be a gracious people. Then we should be a people that has some influence, influential. They were people that can draw people. I don't say charismatic in the sense, because sometimes we can be charismatic in the sense and draw someone for different reasons. Because I know people that are just charismatic. You just meet them and they just draw you. You're drawn to them because there's that type of personality. But we need to be people that are influential, that really works. No matter what our setting is. But it's a capacity to be compelling to others so that we might lead them in service to the Lord, or that we might lead them where we can teach them and develop them in the faith. See, a lot of times we're more interested in winning someone, which is of utmost importance, because if you don't win them, you can't do the next thing, and that's make disciples of them. Sometimes we drop that ball. But that's what God wants to be intended for. He wants us to influence people. And we want to be able to draw someone to get them involved in what the Lord has called us to do so that God can use them. It's just a pleasure. I remember the first time I ever went on visitation with the pastor after I come to know the Lord. I just had so much fun. You know, we run into a lot of stuff out there back years ago, knocking on doors. Used to, you know, you could knock on the door and everybody, most people were very kind to you. Nowadays, you knock on the door, they might slam the door back in your face. But back then, it was a little different. But guess what? They needed Jesus back whenever, 40 years ago. They don't need him worse. They don't need him worse today than they did then. Because everybody needs him no matter what the period of time is. We're all just as lost. We're all just without. And the only thing that we have is what he gives us when it comes to life in itself. So we want to be people that influence us. I hear in Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. You're not too young to be a warrior for the Lord. I remember in school, there was a guy, we called him Paul. His name wasn't Paul, but we called him Paul. We called him Paul the preacher because that's how, I mean, he was a crazy witness for the Lord. Always was. And Paul here telling Timothy, said, don't let them despise you because of your youth. We need our youth. We need our young people. Listen, some of us is getting a little age on us. Just a few of us in here, not me, but some of us are getting a little bit of age. But we need young people that are sold out, solid in doctrine, that don't jump here, jump there, you know, wave back and forth in the wind or blown away with the grain. But we need some young men and some young women that'll stand up and say, count me in for the battle of the Lord. And to be solid in the word of God and stand up and lead other young people to the Lord and help them be disciples. We need that. Every church needs that. We're told to let our light shine so that it will glorify us. Amen? No, amen. I tricked you on that one. So that it might glorify our Father in heaven. It's not us. It's Him. And that's what we want. We want to influence people for Jesus. And then we got to have courage. Got to have some courage here. And there's different types of courage. There's courage of the flesh. You know, the adrenaline gets going and you're able to pick up the front end of a car or something. That's having courage. You know, just adrenaline drives you. And you can do it because you've got all that adrenaline flowing. So, you're ready, right? But then there's a courage of the mind. That's where the battlefield is fought. Right up here between our ears. And God has given us the defenses. That whenever that playground's going on in our head, He's given us the power to resist it. I do not believe that God has empowered us with the Holy Spirit of God and that we cannot resist anything. I believe that we had the power to overcome this world because He overcame it and He overcame it for us. I believe we had the power to stand up. And we got to set our minds that we can do this thing. Because if we don't have our mind set, if we think we're a failure, guess what? You're not a failure. You're just thinking you are, and God's saying you're a success. God's saying you're able to do these things. So we've got to have that courage. We've got to be able to stand up and got to be able to put on that helmet of faith in our minds. And there's courage of soul, and it just implies that our heart. Our heart is ready. Our heart is willing. And we will not be discouraged. You know, all these years of ministry that Juan and I have done together, there's been times when you get down. You get frustrated. There's times when you feel like maybe this ain't what God wanted me to do. But you know what? He always, always sends somebody by to encourage you. Always. The last thing is respect. We need to learn to respect everyone, not just the people we like. See, if we can't show the love of God, they might not ever know God. So we have to take ourselves, we have to treat other people with respect, even if we don't like them, if we're going to be a good leader. I know some people out in the business world that are not, they're not people to be friendly with because their personalities are horrible, but they can be leaders at times because they respect what you do. Leadership takes people that are willing to take on this world and be what God would have us to be. Because, listen, the only way we're going to do it is through Him. That's the only way that we can be successful at it is to show respect to every person, everyone we see. Don't get caught up in anything other than this. Jesus loves them too. It's the only thing. Just Jesus loves them too. No matter what we think, God loves people. And He wants all men to come to Him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17 says that we're to show proper respect one for another. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us aid one another to get us to be joyful. And don't forsake assembling together. God has a plan. And you are the major part of that plan. You're so major in God's plan, His Son come, stepped into this world in Mary's womb, and died on the cross for you. That's how important you are to God's plan. So He wants you to be a leader, but He's not going to leave you by yourself. Just as he told Moses, I'll be with you. He will also be with you. Let's pray.